Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Is the Bible full of contradictions? I mean, in one place, Paul says that we are not under the law. Yet, in another place, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away before the smallest letter of the law is annulled. How do those verses fit together? The answer to that question is surprisingly pertinent to you and your life. In fact, rightly reconciling these seeming contradictions is one of the most important things for you to understand. It literally figures into every day of your life. Find out why. Stay tuned to Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. We're doing a study on a book called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. If you're following along in the book today, we'll be finishing Lesson 6. If you don't have a copy, you can easily get one cheaply on Amazon or by downloading a PDF from our website, theskies.org. That's theskies.org. It's full of funny cartoons and illustrations that emphasize the points. Well worth getting a copy. We have been giving a close look at the concepts of law and grace, and this is a very pertinent lesson to us all. We're trying to reconcile seemingly contradictory messages in the Bible. We see in one place that Paul says we are not under the law, and yet in another place, Jesus says heaven and earth will pass away before the smallest letter of the law is annulled. This can be a little difficult to understand, but on examination, these words fit together perfectly. It is the great foundation of the Reformation that particularly addresses these things, and today we will get their distilled wisdom of the ages. Last lesson, we were examining how there are two different meanings of the word law in the Bible, and this is one of the keys to understanding these seemingly contradictory verses. The first meaning of law is the system of Old Covenant sacrifices, which were instituted by God for the temporary covering of sin. This was in place until the time that God brought the true sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world. This is called the ceremonial law, and it foreshadowed the coming of Jesus to die once for all. When Jesus died as the true Passover lamb and God's judgment passed over us, there was no more need for the imperfect, partial law to be continued. We were no longer under the strict regimen of diets and religious observances. This is clearly stated in the book of Hebrews when it says that the imperfect was done away with. That law of outward observances was not able to change the heart. It was not able to give us a new life that longed after righteousness. These things came about when Jesus died and rose, taking our punishment, and then sent the Holy Spirit to write the law on the tablet of our heart. And that brings us to the other meaning of the law that the Holy Spirit is writing upon the hearts of believers is not the system of sacrifices. That law was completely done away with. Why would we need to continue to sacrifice animals when Jesus already paid the full price of our sins? No, the ceremonial law was done away with. It doesn't apply anymore. the law that the Spirit writes upon our hearts is another law. It is what we call the moral law. The moral law consists of the Ten Commandments and the other laws regarding our conduct and behavior. This law was not done away with. This is the law that Jesus said would not pass away while heaven and earth remained. So we see that by examining things closely, there is no conflict at all. The ceremonial law is done away with, and the moral law is upheld. But this is only part of the story. When Jesus instituted the new covenant, several radical changes were made. The first, as I mentioned, is that the ceremonial law was abolished. But now, regarding the other meaning of the law, that is, the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments, we also have a change. It's a common assumption in modern days to lump the moral law in with the ceremonial law and throw them both out. This is where so much of the confusion has come in. Since Christians know that they are no longer under the law, but under grace, they often abandon everything to do with law. And this becomes a snare and a source of great error in the modern church, which leads to all type of sin and confusion. The moral laws, the Ten Commandments, were not annulled with the ceremonial law. However, a change does take place which alters its character. This is one of the central concepts of the Reformation, which so powerfully impacted the world. The transition that takes place in the moral law under the new covenant is this. We are no longer under the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 3:13 says it perfectly. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. We are no longer bound by the curse of the law. That means having to keep the law perfectly. Jesus made a way for us to be made right in God's eyes through faith in Jesus, who actually did fulfill the full requirements of righteousness under the law. Now, the demand of the law to obey it perfectly no longer holds terror to us who are in Christ. We have a way to be forgiven if we stumble and break a law. The Ten Commandments stand apart from the Old Covenant with its sacrifices and the New Covenant with salvation through faith in Christ. That's because the Ten Commandments are simply God's standard of righteous behavior until heaven and earth pass away. Jesus speaks clearly on this in Matthew 17:19. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and so teaches others shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus spoke these words with the full knowledge that he had come to abolish the sacrificial aspects of the law, yet he upheld the Ten Commandments as part of the new covenant. Indeed, the whole Sermon on the Mount is an amplifying of the Ten Commandments. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is. And this is also confirmed by many scriptures throughout the New Testament, which we'll get to in just a minute. Now, the reason that the Ten Commandments stand apart is this. The Old Covenant was temporary for the forgiveness of sin, but it had no ability to change the heart. Forgiveness came through sacrificial offerings. The imperfect covenant passed away when the time came for Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, to be offered. Now, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we are both forgiven and changed in our heart to desire obedience. To desire obedience. To make us obedient. The question is, obedient to what? What are we supposed to obey? Well, God has spelled out exactly what obedience is. His standard of righteousness is defined in the Ten Commandments and Jesus' explanation of them in the Sermon on the Mount. If the standard of righteousness is thrown out with the old covenant sacrifice, with the ceremonial law, great confusion results. We end up reverting back to the time with the Israelites when every man did what was right in his own eyes. Worse yet, obedience becomes following impulses and urgings and voices. These are very often misleading, sometimes even demonic. Sincere people wanting to obey God end up doing things contrary to the standards set up by God because they were following a prompting that led them to believe that a certain law of God did not apply to them in this or that circumstance. This is precisely the state that much of the church in the Western countries has fallen into. The Ten Commandments become the rule of life. This is not to say that God does not lead his people or even speak to them. In many extreme circumstances, God has marvelously led his people. However, as a rule of living for all men and all women at all times, he has given us the guidelines of what will please him. So the super Christian and the ordinary believer functioning in the workplace have the exact same rules of behavior for what is acceptable to God. Every impulse, every leading must be subjected to the Word of God. The Ten Commandments, now you have to hear this, this is the heart of the mistake and the heart of the answer. The Ten Commandments are not the means of our salvation, but they have become our rule of living. This is historic Orthodox Christianity. Now we obey them because we love God for what he has done for us in Jesus. We want to obey them. And by this we know that we have truly been saved and touched by God if we want to obey. And this is abundantly testified in the scriptures. This is the change that God wrought in the new covenant. We are not saved by obeying the Ten Commandments. We are saved through Jesus, and because of that, we want to obey God and his good moral law. This is the very heart of the issue. To rightly understand that really clears up a lot of misunderstandings in our daily life, how we're to live. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5:19 about the commandments, referring to the commandments, whoever keeps and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of God. Jesus says in Matthew 19:17, there is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Jesus says to us in John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him. Jesus tells us in John 15, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Paul says in Romans 3:31, do we nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. You see, You have to rightly divide the law that he is talking about. God did nullify the ceremonial law, but he upheld the moral law. And that is the way we can decipher all these various things that are taught about not being under the law. We are not under the curse of the law, and we are not under the ceremonial law. Nevertheless, the Ten Commandments are our rule of life. In Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, Paul teaches about the commandments. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth." So here's Paul actually talking about the commandments or the moral law and very much upholding it, even though in other places he said, we are not under the law. In Titus 2:14, he says, "He who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." You notice he says that God's salvation is that he would redeem us from every lawless deed. How can there be a lawless deed unless the moral law, the Ten Commandments, still is upheld? That is what defines a lawless deed. Jesus came to redeem us from every lawless deed. In 1 John 2, verse 3, it says, "By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments." In 1 John 3:24, it says, "And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." This verse sums up the new covenant, that we love God because Jesus rescued us from sin and death. And now we want to obey his commandments because the Holy Spirit has written them on our heart so that we love to do them. And that's what he means when he says the commandments are not burdensome, meaning we're not straining against the commandments. We're not trying to get away with as much as we can. No, we love to obey, and we want to obey not only the letter of the law, we want to obey the heart of the law. This is what we see when Jesus teaches about the spirit of murder, that we don't want to just refrain from killing someone. We want to keep from having murderous thoughts. And as he says about lust, it is not good enough to simply not commit adultery. We must not have adulterous thoughts. This is the heart of the commandment, and we are to love the things that are right so that those commandments are not burdensome. This verse is one of the finest tests of our relationship with God. If we go to church and find ourselves either having no thought about God's laws or straining against them, we have probably not met Jesus yet. We're just going to church. If we find that we're always trying to justify the things we're doing, and we're always pushing the limits to what our church will allow, we are also still in darkness. If, however, we come into a lively personal relationship with Jesus, we'll find we can say like David did, that the laws of God are sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. When Jesus enters our life, we desire to obey. We love to obey. His laws are not a burden to us, but they are beautiful to us. When we are truly born again, our only real grief is that we're not following God more closely. We are grieved that we still find ourselves sinning and following his commandments so imperfectly. We want to obey not only the letter, but the heart of the law. We pore over the scriptures to find all that God wants. We use the law of God as a mirror to see if there is any offensive behavior in us. This is what James is referring to in James 1:25, where he says, "But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does." I'm glad you could join us today as we resolve these issues, and it gives us such a clear path to walk on, that we are not saved because we keep the commandments, but because we are saved, we want to keep the commandments. He has written them on our heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, make us new covenant Christians. Help us to walk in a way that pleases you. Help us to walk in obedience to you. Help us to love your law and to have it written on our hearts, that we might obey the heart of the law, not just the letter. Lord, this is what makes us into new creatures in Christ, and that's what we want. So, Lord, please write that good law upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Skies Celtic Revival CD, which is available on the Sky Family website or on iTunes.